God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you for being here, Marla. Let me get out. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Don C., who this morning is going to talk about Native medicine and working the steps. Don, good morning. You're still on mute.
Okay, there we go. Okay, well, good morning, everyone. And I just thought, too, that it might be a good way to also start with a prayer to see that we're going. And what I thought I would do is I would read. There's this prayer that we use a lot in our Native communities. We use this a lot in opening our meetings. So I thought this would be appropriate to read this prayer that will kind of help us get going and, you know, keep us on track for today. And it's called Prayer to the Great Spirit. And it says, so I have I've lit some sage. So the sage carries our spirit in our, you know, our cleansing all around the whole world. Our medicine knows no boundaries. So it's taught that the center is everywhere. And when you light it here, and that medicine comes out in the smoke, that's how it gets out, is by in the smoke. Otherwise, that medicine is contained in the plant. But that's different plants have different ways of releasing the medicine. So this is the one that helps us to connect with each other, and then also to carry out prayers, you know, to the Creator. So I'll read this Great Spirit prayer. And it says, O Great Spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds, and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise so that I may understand the things you have taught my people. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength not to be superior to my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, so when life fades as a fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. That prayer is called a prayer to the Great Spirit. And in our meetings often, this is how we will open up with a serenity prayer to staying guidelines with the AA, but then we'll add the light to sage and then say this prayer to the Great Spirit prayer. So I want to thank you for allowing me to light the sage and to explain that part of that prayer. So this morning, what I want to just chat a little bit about is, first of all, there are 572 different tribes in the United States, and everyone is different. So they have their own language, they have their own ceremonies, they have their own drum, they have their own songs, they have different medicines, because wherever they were on the earth, that part of earth taught them and gave them that culture. So the woodlands, they will have woodlands process. The desert people, they will have desert things. In the Alaska, maybe they will have things that fits their environment. So that each of the tribes are all different, because the earth, wherever they live, that's what taught them differently. So when we talk about adding the medicine to these 12 steps, often what you will hear Native people say when they say stuff is, because we know all the tribes are different, they will say, but this is what my elder taught me. This is the way that I was shown how to do it. So I like to say it that way because that's the way it is. And also to understand that what we say here is, we talk about the medicines, then if it works, put your own medicine in this process. You don't have to use this medicine that I'm showing you, because this is just how I was taught by Johnny Looking Cloud. And When I came into recovery, I had three sponsors that were very influential in my life. One I call a head sponsor. This was Frank McKibben. And one I call my heart sponsor. This was Don Pritz. And then I had one with the cultural sponsor. He's the one that said to me, it's time now that you bring that culture into your AA recovery program. And I didn't know that I could do that because when I found out that these 12 steps worked for me, that's the only thing ever worked that kept me sober every day for a long time, because I always slipped, or every time I tried something, it never was permanent. I always slipped again. And so this one, it was permanent. So when I worked with Johnny Looking Cloud, it was different. And sometimes he was like a mystery man. He wouldn't tell you everything. Sometimes he'd say, go sit on that rock over there for half a day. And he wouldn't tell me exactly why or anything else, you know. So when he started taking me through these 12 steps, it was different. So I'm going to explain that, what he showed me today in the next little while. First of all, before I started at 12 steps, he took me up into the mountains. We found this place in we sat down there, and he started to tell me, he said, when you have this disease of alcoholism, he said, if you're an alcoholic, he said, like me or like how I think you are, he said, this is about whether you live or die. This isn't about whether you get a skin rash, because I was flirting with death. And no matter how strong my will was in all other areas, when it come to alcohol, I had no power. I just would drink at the loss of my kids, and I would feel so guilty, and they would tell me things, you know, when I come home and beg me to stop, and I would promise I would stop, and I would hide money, all kind of things I did. And what I did is I just kept drinking. I was just a drunkard. And nothing worked until I come to the AA. So what Johnny Cloud told me, he said, when we start this AA through the steps this time, he said, what I want to do is I want to do a staking ceremony. And I said, what is a staking ceremony? And so he said, I'm going to explain this to you. He said, in the staking ceremony, he said, it has six colors. Blue is on top, that represents the sky. Red, yellow, black, and white, that represents the people, and the green, that represents the Mother Earth, as he said. So that's the six directions. And what he said, a long time ago, there was this tribe, and a small tribe, and he said, the bigger tribes around there used to come and steal their horses and steal their women and take their food, and it was always picked on because the tribe came that was bigger. And so he said, one day, one of the medicine people, they went and they did a ceremony for 4 days. And he come back and he said to the people, he said, I have a ceremony that I want to give to you. He said, it's called a staking ceremony. So what he did is he went through the camp and he selected a small number of men and women. He'd say, you come with me, you come with me, you come with me. And what he explained to them was a staking ceremony. What it was when the enemy would come, the small group of people, men and women, they would run out to the perimeter of the village. They'd form a circle around there, and they would take a stake, and they would drive it in the ground. They put it in the ground. Then they would tie a rope around the stake, and they would tie it around their waist, and they would lay all their weapons down on the ground in front of them. And they made a commitment to die. That's what the staking ceremony was there. When you drive that stake in the ground for the people, they committed to die. And so each of those in that perimeter, when the enemy started to come, they saw, what are these Indians doing? And they drove that stake in the ground, tied themselves to it, laid their weapons down. And inside of them, there was this commitment. But what they found is that commitment was so strong the energy from her so strong that it went out and it made a circle around her small village. And an enemy, when they would encounter the edge of that field, they would stop and they would yell and they would scream, but they wouldn't come in. And they would try to get them, and a small group of people made that commitment. And that commitment was so strong, it warded off all the enemies. And so he said, whether you drink again, as he said, that's an enemy to you. And he said, I want to do this station ceremony so that when the temptation comes or anything comes like that, you're going to have that energy and have that feel there to not drink, because he said, you don't have no power over that not drinking. And he said, there's going to things come that will make you do that. So he said, we're going to do the stake of ceremony because it's a commitment whether you live or die. You are committing as an alcoholic. This is your way of life. These 12 steps, this is how you're going to live your life. That's what you're staking to. My commitment to this program that works. And so it's a little bit different than how it was in AA, but we was out there still doing the AA, but he added something to it, was to bring our culture in. When he explained that, my heart was just beating, and it was like something I knew he was telling me was really, really, really true. And so we did this ceremony and drove that stake in the ground, and then we sung 4 songs. We started singing one to the east, the south, the west, and the north. We had to sing 4 songs and then do that staking ceremony. And so then what happens is then that stake, that is sacred ground now. That's a place where I made a commitment to the Creator. I make a vow. So that circle around where that stake is was sacred. So then what that meant was I had to go through all 12 of the steps. And when I did certain steps, the third step, I had to go back by that stake. When I did my 4th, 5th step, I had to go back by that stake. That's where I did my that sacred spot where I made that vow or that commitment. And so I just thought that I would share that part of what that culture is. That's the commitment ceremony is very, very powerful. So when I work with people now, that's what I do. When I get the new blood, I don't sponsor like I used to, but my first sponsor, I always remember one thing he told me is he said, sometimes he had this pet name for me when he wanted me to listen, to him. Like some people say grasshopper or something like that. He had another name, though, when he wanted me to listen to something. One of the things he told me is he said, no matter how long you're sober, he said, never get too far away from the smell of a drunk's puke. He said, always keep you a fresh one around. And so that's how I've done it in all my years of sobriety. No matter if I travel or what I do, I always got that one new one, to teach me and to keep me honest like that. But I do this staking ceremony, with them. Then the next thing that he told me was, he said, inside of you is a blueprint. He said, inside of every human being is an innate knowledge of your own well-being. And he said, just like the salmon has a blueprint, what he's supposed to do, you have a blueprint. But your ancestors are inside of you. And he said, all you know is everything goes in circles or cycles. He said, that's how it is. Your insides, it's about circles or a cycle. So he said, we're going to put the steps in a circle. As he said, no, we're not violating no AA. They do it in a straight line. He said, we're just going to take the same thing and put it in a circle. So the way that he showed me this is how we do the steps in a circle. In the east, steps 1, 2, 3, that's the direction where you find the Creator. Steps 4, 5, 6 is in the south. That's where you find yourself. You know your strengths, you know your weaknesses. Then in the west is amends, 7, 8, and 9. This is where you make your amends, set your past right. Now you find your relatives. And then in the north, that's the elders' teachings. Now you're back in harmony with the earth. And so when he said that, that wasn't foreign to me. It's just something clicked. It was when he said that. And he said, these 12 steps, he said, they're sacred. They're a sacred natural order, he talked about. He said, they're in an order and they're all interconnected. And he said, when you was with your grandpa, he said, your culture where you lived, it taught you to be in harmony with the earth. You respected the plants, the animals, you respected all that. And then he said, you started drinking. And he said, your spirit, it left the earth, it drifted way out in space. He said, that's why you were lost. You went away. And he said, in these 12 steps, he said, way out in space, that's where you were. And he said, these 12 steps, when you admit step one, I admit I'm powerless over alcohol, it stops the drifting. And then there's 12 gentle ways to get you back to become in harmony with the earth. And he said, that's how that is. It'll step by step, it'll lead you back into that, be in harmony with that earth. And in my spirit, it just made sense to me. I had no resistance. I felt like somebody told me something grandpa would say, you know, it just fit. So I changed my mind on what those 12 steps was doing. It was so culturized, you know, in that way you see that I would do that. And so what he taught me was when I do go through the steps, I was to build an altar. That's how he called it. It's just the space. So what it looks like is it starts with a red cloth. It looks like this. And then I was to put inside of that cloth a shell. And that looks like this. And then sometimes what I do is I will put inside of that cloth these four colors, red, yellow, black, and white. So I will make my altar. It's a place where I go to work those 12 steps, you see. So I build an altar. It's that spot where I carry out my intent. This is where I intend to do this work. And so he taught me, you purposefully come to this place, and then you and the Creator know this is what you're going to do. That's why you come here to visit. And so he started to teach me about these 12 steps. And so one of the things we were to do is to, first part of step one was to look at powerless over alcohol. And what we learned to do there is, it seems like what they tell us about the brain, the left part of the brain is where there's this logical list, line, sequence, order. That's the left part of the brain. The right part of the brain is where there's like rhythm, music, dance, creativity. Each of those has a different function. And what we have found is Native people have a tendency to be right brain because, you know, the drum, we're always bouncing around and dancing and, you know, doing all of that. So one of the things that we learned from a guy named Tony Buzan, he's from England. And what he taught us how to do something called mind mapping. And so the mind mapping, when we do step one, it looks like this. You put like the word powerless in the middle, and then you might be powerless over, might be powerless over relationships, you could be powerless over meth or drugs or alcohol, whatever it is. And then what you do is you start to put a word of what that means on that mind map. So when I look at powerless over alcohol, what would that mean? I can't stop drinking. What's powerless? I will drink instead of taking care of my kids. So I start to put the information for me that it shows what for me is powerless. Then it goes even further. You end up in jail and you end up in debt and you end up in finances and, you know, you end up getting kicked out and you end up divorced. And the more that I expand that mind map, then on the outside, it always leads to death. That's how, you know, it is for myself. And so we learned that mind map helps you get very deep very quickly. It's not just one word, but it triggers another word and triggers another word. And I'm not going to explain much more of that, but you can find out more about mind mapping onto YouTube. Look at Tony Buzan or look up mind mapping. It'll tell you, you know, exactly how to do that. But we have found when we do this mind mapping in our native communities, they just love it. It just makes sense. It's like information, you see, it starts to flow out of them. And so that would be how we would do the first half of step one. Then when we do the second half of step two of step one, then there's 9 areas that we take a look at. Personal relationships, emotional nature. It comes from a paragraph in the big book on page 52. So what we do is we do 9 mind maps looking at the unmanageability in step one. And then there's 9 mind maps. We bring that to step two and we make 9 visions. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could. So then we make these 9 little mini visions, and that takes us on to step two, which is hope. Step one is honesty. Step two is hope. And then that brings us then to us to step three. So in step three, there's 3 things that that we have done over the years that seems to be appropriate. One is when we take that step three with another person, we will do that one that has the step three prayer out of the big book. So a lot of us will do that. And some of us, when we take step three, we will do the Great Spirit prayer, that one that I read at the beginning. So 2 people will get on their knees, they'll hold hands, and then one says that prayer, and then the other says that prayer, which says you turn your life over to the care of the Creator. Sometimes, with the intent is right, we write our own. So I have done that also. I'm just taking my time and say, I want to do this, but I want to do it in my own words. So I'll write my prayer out. Now, how do I take this third step when I take it? Different tribes do it differently. So in some communities, in here is a pipe for ones whose tribes where you are pipe carriers. And so what that means is when you take that third step, you'll load the pipe, put the tobacco or kinnikinnick in that bowl, and then you will say that prayer, and then you'll smoke that pipe, smudge yourself, you know, to smoke that pipe. So some people will do that. Some people, when they take that third step, they will burn sage. So they'll burn themselves really, just smudge themselves really good, burn the sage. There's different kind of sages. This one that I'm showing you is from the plains, but there's also Southwest type of sage. It's different. So whatever the earth gave you, that's what you would use in your area. So we light the sage, light your sage, and then you would say that prayer, whether it's out of the big book or your third step prayer. But the sage, all the plants has a medicine, and then you got to know how to get that medicine out. And one of the ways is with this medicine is you have to light it to smoke. So when the smoke comes out and you bring that smoke to your body and to your heart area, then that is spiritual. It's carrying your prayers. Some tribes, what they will do is they will use cedar, flat cedar like this. And so it has a medicine in for some communities. This is very, very strong. So what they will do is it burns by fire. So they'll break off a little branch like this, and then you break off to the fine needles, and then you light it on fire, and it has the ability to. It's the third way is they use the sweet grass. So it looks like this. It's a braid. It's a braid of the Mother Earth, but the sweet grass is very, very powerful. It's got exactly the same number of strands on each braid. Very number wise, it's very powerful. And so they'll use this cedar, and so they'll light the end of the braid like this. It'll turn to smoke, and then they smudge themselves with this. And then you take your third step prayer. So you use the medicine, you see, to take that third step prayer. Then there's other communities, what they'll do is they'll use corn, because that's what their medicine is. They'll grind this corn up, and some will use the corn pollen, certain ways that they do it differently, you see, for each one. But their medicine is very powerful, you know, depends upon what each tribe is. Also, we try to say here is this is the way that I was taught on how to add the culture to these 12 steps. This would be step three. Then in step four, what we do there is when we start step four, what we do is we have somebody before we begin to smudge ourselves. And what that means is you would take some sage like this and you put it in this bowl and then you would light it. And then you have a feather. It can be one feather. In this case, I have a fan. This is our eagle. These are eagle feathers, but it don't have to be an eagle feather. A fan is a way that it gathers the smoke. So when you light the smoke and you run your feather over it, that medicine traps on the bottom of the feather.
Put up on a separate computer, log into AWB, so it just becomes.
Was that message for me? Okay, I'll just continue. So then that medicine gathers on the bottom of the fan. And so what you do is you have somebody that's with you take that medicine and you throw it on yourself. And then in some cases, you wipe yourself with that feather and then you snap that energy off of the feather, especially your heart area, to clean your heart area, to clean your head. And that is a way before you start the fourth step. And then you have them put a cocoon, a space with that medicine around your whole body. So they should go around you and be putting that medicine all around you like a cocoon. Cocoon is sort of like the mom's womb. It's like going back into the womb. And what we call that is a protection way. And so you build that medicine around your whole body so that when you're writing this inventory on the resentment, fears, and sex, that you are protected. You don't have something floating in or some neighbor wishing something bad on you or some ex-husband or ex-wife or whatever. So you write that in that protection. And what we need to know when we write the inventory, the first one that I did is I always thought that I was writing the truth about myself. Because I always felt I was no good and I was not good enough and I was not worthy enough. That's just how it seemed I felt like my whole life. And what I found out was I was really writing the truth about the lie. That there were people in my life that told me some things that wasn't true. So maybe the best way to explain it is to tell you a quick story. And it's a story about the eagles that was raised by chickens. And so there was this farmer. He had this farm, and he was working in a farm, and he heard two gunshots down the road a little ways. So he walked down there. He said, "Who is shooting on my land?" So he walked down there, and we got by this big tree. There was two eagles laid dead on the ground, and he was really upset. He said, "How come?" He said, "These guys shoot these eagles." And so as he's standing there, he heard this little noise and he looked up there and there was a little nest. And he said, "I wonder if there's not little eaglets in there." So he climbed up that tree and looked in the nest, and sure enough, two little eagles in there. And he went, "Oh no," he said. So he grabbed those eagles out, put one in each pocket, and he's walking back by his farm. And he said, "I don't know anything about eagles, what they like, I don't know." He said, I got to find out what I should do with them. So as he is walking close to the house, he happened to pass by the chicken coop. And he said, "Well, let me just throw them in there and see what happens." So he opened up the chicken coop door and he set them in there, and the chickens accepted him. So a little time went on, and as he walked by, he'd see that they was accepted very, very well. But every once in a while, he see those chickens would crow and make a noise, and his eagles would try it, and they wouldn't even sound like a chicken. And he would just laugh about it. And then he see the chickens scratch, for worms and stuff, and those eagles are trying to scratch, and they fall over, and you just laugh, you know, thinking. So anyway, a little bit of time went by, and these eagles started to change colors. And so this one eagle said to the other little baby eagle, he said, "Something's really wrong." He said, "We're not like them." And the other one said, "Just cool it," he said. "We got food, we got a house." He said, "Just shut up, don't cause no trouble." So spring come by, and the farmer said, "I'm going to let all of them out for one day so that they can find food." This is spring. And so they started, he opened up the door, and all of them walked out, chickens and just two little eagles. And there's one eagle walked down his path. He was kind of exploring, and all of a sudden he heard his laugh. It's a belly laugh. And he looked all around to see who he was. And finally, he looked up in a tree, and there was an owl sitting up there. And that owl was just laughing, and he said to that eagle, said to him, he said, "Why are you laughing? What's so funny?" He said, "You're funny." He said, "You're an eagle, and you're acting like a chicken. I never seen nothing like it." "I am a chicken." He said, "No." He said, "You're not a chicken." He said, "You're an eagle." And they argue back and forth. So finally, the owl says, "I want to show you something." So he flew down there, and he told that little eagle, he said, "Get on my back." So he climbed on his back, and he took off to fly. And the eagle didn't know it, but he was afraid of heights. And so as the eagle started to circle way up in the sky, the eagle said, "Take me back home, take me back home." "No, no, no, I want to show you something." So he took him, flew up really, really high, and then he leveled off, and he said, "I want to tell you something." No, he said, "All the Indians, they think that you carry the prayers to the Creator. They get really excited when they see you. They think you're very sacred." And so he said, when they get one of your feathers, he said, "It's like gold." He said, "They treat it with respect. They take care of it. They pray with it." And he said, "I don't care." He said, "Take me back home. I want to get back to the chicken coop." "No, no," he said, "you don't understand." So all the owl's explanation, the eagle wouldn't believe it. So finally, the owl said, "I'm sorry, I got to do this." So he started to fly back and forth like this. And then he went upside down, so the eagle fell off. The eagle didn't even know how to fly. And he was tumbling through the air, and that owl went side of him. And he's screaming at that eagle that's tumbling. He goes, "Spread your wings, spread your wings. I can do it. No, you got to do it. You're going to die. Spread your," it's like a sponsor, I guess, you know. spread your wings. You got to fly. No, I can't. So finally, he tried it. Got his wings out. He tried to spread them. He didn't even know what that meant. Finally, his wings popped out, and he started to soar. And he couldn't believe that he was soaring. And then he started to remember things. He says, "Oh, I think I can fly in a circle." So he started doing trick flights, and he just started to, he never knew he could do it. So he couldn't wait to get back and tell his brother. So we went back there, and his brother was trying to make out with a chicken, you know. And he said, "Brother, you got to come here and talk to this owl." "I'm not now. He said, "I'm busy with this hen." No, you got to go. So he went over and did the same thing. Took him up there, fly, tried to explain to him about being an eagle and carrying the prayers and all that. And so finally, him too, he turned upside down and let him tumble. And he went down, you know, spread your wings. And so he finally did, he spread his wings. So this is how this story connects to the inventory. As many of us as we grow up in alcoholic parents, you're no good. Oh, you're not worthy. Look at you, there's something wrong there. You're too fat, you're too ugly, you're too this. Then you have friends and teachers and husbands and who would have you anyway? And then pretty soon, you start to think like a chicken. You start to think like that's how they say you're supposed to think. And what we find out in inventory is when you do the resentments and you do the fear and you do the sex inventory, what you discover is it's all just a bunch of chicken poop. The stuff that you write, that ain't you. That's not who you are. That ain't how God made you in the first place. It's way, way different, you see. So what we write in there is not the truth about you. It's the truth about the lie. It's about things that you were told when you were little growing up and whatever. And so what we got to do is go through that darn inventory, fifth step it, and then find out. That's how we change our lives, is we find out what's inside of us is just chicken poop. It's not the truth anyway about that. So then when we fifth step, then we do the same thing. We will take, when somebody comes to me like the fifth step, we talk about, you know, whether the inventory is done and all that, but then we smudge them. And so we put cedar or sage, depending upon what that tribe's medicine is. So we put that medicine all around them and let them do that. As they're reading their fifth step, if they start to cry or they have to start to struggle, we'll light some more medicine, put that medicine out there to help them take the hurt away, to take that pain away and put it away. Sometimes what we'll do is we'll take the medicine and we'll make a cloud up above their heads, maybe about 6 feet. And then as they let go of that hurt, we put it in that cloud. We make it go up there. We say, okay, let it go to the cloud. And then when it's done, we do a ceremony to take that and have the creator take all that hurt that's in that cloud, is how we do that. And so then what we do is we go on to step six and seven, and this is what we do there. As some of you know, is that you get the character defects out of the inventory for step six and for seven. So what we were taught is what Johnny Lookingclaw taught me was to make something called a tobacco tie. And it's a little red cloth, looks like this, about this size. And then you put some tobacco in it, like this. And that represents, as you're doing step six, when you put that tobacco inside of that tie, in step six, you're looking at your willingness to let go of your jealousy. You're looking at your willingness to let go of your shame. So as you put that in, or you're talking to the creator, I want to let go of this defect of character. I don't want to have it in my life anymore. I'm going to be willing to have you take it. And then you make it into a little bundle like this, and then you tie some twine around it, and you end up with a tobacco tie. It looks like this. So you make one tobacco tie for each character defect. So if you've got 20 character defects that comes out of the inventory, then you have 20 tobacco ties. You make one for each one, but as you make it, you're in prayer, asking the creator, letting them know you're willing to let this part of you go. You don't want to be carrying that around anymore. You realize it's just chicken poop or whatever. You know, sometimes you got to have a little humor, I suppose, in some of that. But anyway, you make these tobacco ties. Then when that's done, step seven, what you want to do is you want to take this tobacco tie and you want to burn it. So I've done it a number of ways. I've taken these tobacco ties into the sweat lodge, and I've had them sing those songs. And then one at a time, I'll take this tobacco tie and put it on the hot rocks. And as the people are singing, they're like people in recovery, you know what I'm doing. I put in this tobacco tie and you put it on the hot rocks, and they're singing, and you watch, all of a sudden it just bursts into flames. And you can tell that it feels like the creator took it. Then you take the second one, you put it in there, burst it into the flames. And sometimes what I do is I will just build a fire outside. Or sometimes I'll go back up where my stake is and I will build a fire, make it there safe, you know, dig a hole in the ground. Sometimes what I do is when I burn the cedar, is I will use these things called charcoal, little charcoal chips. They're about this big around and they're made of charcoal. And when you light them with a match, it burns white. And that is one of the best ways to burn the cedar. And you got to put this like in a something that this gets very, very hot. So you got to be careful you put it in the right kind of a container, a pot, you know, whatever you use. It burns very, very hot. And then you put it in that dish like this. And then you can put the break the cedar off, and you put it on top of that little disc, and it'll set it on fire. So you can be able to get the medicine to come out of the smoke. You know, if you've got a lot of tobacco ties to burn. But the point of it is, you can tell the creator, I'm ready for you to take this tobacco, this character defect, and then all of a sudden the fire just goes, pew, and it just disappears, and it almost makes you cry. It just does something to your insides, you know, that you go, whoo, it's like breathtaking, you know, to have that go away. And so we have learned to use that medicine. We do the staking ceremony. We use the medicine step 3. We use it to protect ourselves and prepare ourselves to write 4-step inventory. Then we will build that protection way around anyone who does like a 5th step, you know, to put this. Now, these 3 medicines, the sage like this, and the sweet grass and the cedar, these are all female medicines. They're the woman's medicine that's in them. And the sage is like more of a generic way of working, letting go of things or connecting to things. The cedar is a little bit, to me, is more powerful. So it's harder to burn, but it's also more powerful. It has a different smell, you know, a different aroma to it. So this is a stronger medicine. And the sweetgrass medicine, this is, I use this like when somebody is 5th stepping and they have a hard time like with sexual abuse or domestic violence or things like this. It's sort of like how I can best describe this medicine is, I always remember, sometimes one of my kids would get hurt and they come running in the house and I would grab them, sit on my lap, you know, and I pat them, oh, it's going to be okay. And I talk to them and they're crying and, you know, trying to get them to calm down. Then the woman will come in and she does exactly the same thing. She sits in a chair, she puts them in her arms, she pats them, and when she does it, they quit crying. There's something in her fingers. There's something in her healing. There's something in her that the creator put in her, makes it very calming. It calms down things. That's the way this sweetgrass is. It's a very gentle, powerful, like a woman's pat that we use sometimes in the 5th step when somebody really struggles and they're really hurting or they can't. Sometimes you have a hard time making something come out, you know, to tell to yourself or to a human being or another person. So we use that medicine, you see, in that way. And then, of course, we go on to make amends. Now, sometimes in amends, it's done differently with different tribes. Like in our tribe, when you want to have an appointment with somebody, you'll make like a tobacco tie or you tobacco like you buy in the store, and you say, I want to have a meeting with you. I'm going to offer you this tobacco. And then they take that tobacco, then that means that they will be willing to meet with you. It's sort of like a gift. And if somebody brings you that tobacco and then say you make amends or whatever, then later on they'll take that tobacco, untie it, and they'll take that tobacco out of the tie that you give them, and they'll go thank the earth. They'll go spread it on the earth like in a prayer, or they'll put it in the water, maybe in the river or lake or the creek, to put it in the water because the water is very good about taking away hurts and things like that. So this is kind of a brief explanation of how in the 12 steps I was taught on how, this is how I go through them now. I did it the first time when I went through with Frank. He was a white guy, but he did exactly by the book. Boy, he was so precise. Every sentence was a instruction. If there's a question, I had to answer it, you know. And if it said must, I had to do it. He was like that. My second sponsor, he was also by the big book, but was a different gentleness. It was more feeling oriented, more a heart area, things like that. And then when Johnny Claude took me through the work, all of a sudden it was about the earth and about using the medicine. And I would say that this is probably a true statement for me is I didn't really understand the culture that I was taught until I went through the 12 steps. I would say AA taught me that culture, the meaning behind ceremony, the magic or whatever you want to call it, that something means something, you know. And I would say I didn't have that experience with that until I went through AA in the 12 steps. It's sort of like, I would say, you know, it taught me the meaning of the culture, because a lot of times before it was lip service, right? I just did things, you know, because everybody else did it. And I didn't prepare myself for certain things. You know, I just would be talking and, you know, when I pray in my car on the way to work, the windshield wipers going or whatever, you know. But now I learned, no, pray very special. So in the morning, I remember I had a difficult time in prayer, and I asked Johnny Claude, I said, would you teach me to pray? And he said, okay. He said, I'll teach you to pray. So he said, you're going to have to get up when the sun comes up. That's when you start to pray. And I slept late. So he said, when the sun first hits the horizon, he said, there's a window starts to open. And then as the sun arises, it opens up a window. And he said, the birds start singing, the dew starts melting, the whole world wakes up. And when you say your prayers during that time, he said, your prayers are very, very strong, because there's a window that's opening up, just like it's waking up the birds and everything else. And so I thought, okay, I'll try that. So I set my alarm and I get up and I go sit outside, you know, have a cup of coffee and wait for the sun to come up. But then when it come up, I would light my sage in the morning, you know, and I would I believe very strongly in that process of the big book, step 11. On awakening, this is what you do for the next 24 hours ahead, asking God to direct your thinking. That's very important for mine. My thinking can go crazy, you know. But asking God to direct my thinking, divorcing my day from self-pity, dishonesty, self-seeking motives, consider my plan for the day. I used to consider that plan for the day, that was my to-do list. I planned to go here, I planned to go there. And then Johnny Looking Cloud taught me that wasn't a plan where I was going to go. He said, that's going to plan what you're going to be. I intend to be patient. I intend to be kind. I intend to be, you know, empathetic. So every morning when it said, consider your plans for the day. Well, today I plan to be kind. Today I plan to be loving. So that was a part, you know, where I learned to change me. So then I would do that in the morning at sunrise. And I remember after a couple of weeks, I went out there and all of a sudden I could hear these birds were singing. I seen it like there was 20 or 30 or 40 birds, you know, blue jays and robins and all those little birds. And so I call him up and I said, Johnny Looking Cloud, I said, this prayer stuff really works. I said, I got it this morning and there were birds all over in my yard. They was just singing. And he said to me, he said, nephew, he said, those birds have been singing every morning. He said, you just wasn't listening. You weren't there, you know. And so then sometime later, all of a sudden I started to see eagles. And boy, what Indian to see eagles is a big deal, you know. And I'd say a prayer and I see these eagles and they seem like they would talk to me. And I call him up and I'd say, dang, Johnny Looking Cloud, his prayer stuff really works. I said, I seen two eagles today. And he come back and he say, those eagles have always been talking to you. Just you're walking around with your head down, you know, you're not looking up. So anyway, I think it's very important. I'll close with this. Is the 11th step in the morning, it tells you to hook yourself into the power of the Creator. Then during the day, there's a 10 step. What I did for maybe 7 or 8 years during the time for a 10 step, when I make a mistake, I would analyze it. Why are you still doing this? Why are you, how could you be so stupid? Look, you've done this last month. And you, I would be talking to myself all day long, seemed like, until Johnny Lundquist told me, he said, you don't do no analysis during the day. He says, when it crops up, you turn and ask God to remove it, whatever it is. And then if you're in trouble, you pause when something goes wrong and you ask for the right thought or action. You analyze at night, not during the day. So at nighttime, what I found is during the day, it seems what happens, I'll pick up maybe on a plate. I pick up spiritual plate. I pick up like 2 pounds of selfishness, a pound or two of dishonesty, a couple pounds of resentment, you know, and whatever. And then I go to sleep. So if I don't get rid of it at night, I get up in the morning and I carry that plate and I start my day doing that morning with 6 pounds of stuff on a plate. And then if I don't clean it up the second day, then I got 10 pounds of stuff on this plate. Then I get up and do my morning meditation. I'm not cleaning the plate, you know, at nighttime. And that's what I've learned. I got more balance out of when it says there's 13 things it asks you to do at nighttime. And it's important to clean the plate. And that's, again, when I use the medicine. When I'm done, I will look at what I've done that day and say that prayer to ask the Creator for corrective actions and then to move that away. So that's kind of my experience on how to use the medicines and 12 steps. So I don't know if anybody wants to ask any questions or make comments. Even just comments is wonderful too. Maybe there's ways that you use medicines to do it too.
You want to stick your hand in the air? You're gonna give me a chat so I can you guys. If you have any questions for me. If you can keep it to 1 minute, 2 minutes, we've got a lot of people on here. I would appreciate that. Auntie M.
Thank you. That was just awesome. So, Uncle, the question I have is about that altar you showed, the cloth. Uh-huh. Are you making prayer robes on that for your altar or just having the cloth?
I do. I have done different things. Sometimes I'll take tobacco ties, make them 4 colors. And I'll tie them in a circle around my whole altar, you know, so that when I say my prayers, it's for red, yellow, black, and white children or whatever. So the altar is very personal. Sometimes I put something on there my grandpa gave me and is gone, you know. So I build it separately that has meaning to me.
Great. Hold on, Joan. I'm jumping there. Can you unmute yourself?
Yeah, hi. I'm Joanne. Sorry, you can't see me. Thank you so much. Hi, guys. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say that, you know, as you were going through the rituals, I kept nodding my head because I have experienced doing the sweat lodge. I have experienced doing the tobacco ties. And at first, when I was doing it, you know, I didn't understand why I was doing it, what I was doing it for, but I did it, you know, and hearing you talk about it, you know, just brought back some wonderful memories, you know, how I went to this rites of passage and I did the tobacco ties, and it was just a wonderful experience. So thank you so much again.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. Michelle. Can you unmute yourself? Michelle W.
Good. Okay. Don, Chimigwatch, that was very, very helpful. You were showing us books during the presentation. Are they for sale somewhere?
What this is It's just a workbook that I made that I use my personal through the 12 steps. I think what I will do is I will have them put on the chat room a way to find out how to get it.
Is that email to awroundup@gmail.com. I will have Jim put it in the chat. We will forward the emails and we will answer your emails. How's that?
Okay, is the AW Roundup, is that specifically AA Without Borders, or is that the Native?
It's Alan Without Borders. We're just putting on a Native conference. We put on a lot of work, mostly predominantly Al-Anon, but AA participation. So you're asking about outside issues, but we're more than happy to answer them if you send us an email. Would that work for y'all? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris. There you are. Chris M. I can't hear you, but you are unmuted. Chris? I'm sorry. I'll be back. I'm not sure what went wrong. Lynn?
Hi, my name's Lynn. Hi. Thank you so much, Dawn. Oh my God, that was just gorgeous, just beautiful. I'm loving learning more about this, and I don't know, Yvonne, if we can, or Dawn, if we can email Yvonne and ask about possibly contacting you as well. I don't know if that's possible.
Yes, you can.
I just appreciate you bringing this up. My mom died when I was younger, and I know that side of the family had a huge, they were Native American. So now I've always been drawn, and now I want to add this and follow up, because they're all passed away, but I want to follow up this and incorporate this. I've always been hugely drawn. Thank you so much for bringing this to
you, my 12 step. You need to do that. You got to do that.
Thank you,
Lynn. Yes, when we post the recordings on MSB Recording and AhmadAudioRecording.com, and recovery tapers, we will put some of the images of the medicine wheel that Don will, we can probably, I know where to get it, and we'll put the images to go with that and some direction of where you can get that. Just to answer a question out of the chat. Crystal.
Hi, thank you. Thanks everyone again so much. Don, I think you asked about like incorporating medicine and stuff like that. I'm grateful. Some medicine that I've used during grief is like rose or resentment. And then I was talking to somebody about my third step, and I think where my home is, it's very connected to the ocean. And we'd always make offerings to the sea, and so I feel like the elements in themselves are medicine. But I have a really hard time talking, so I don't know if I made any sense at all. But grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know that I do too. Sometimes I will write inventory. I have a bouquet of flowers. I like to have the flowers sitting there all while I write inventory. When I write my winter inventory, the fourth year, then I have little containers. I put some soil, some water. I like the four elements to be present there when I do that winter inventory that I talked about the other day. You know, the season, spring, summer, fall, winter. So I always like to have water, and I like to have flowers. There's just something about makes things gentle when you got to look at some crap, you know, that you've done again or whatever. It just seems there's some kind of forgiveness or something. You know, the Creator is in all those things. So when you see the beauty of the flower, that's the beauty of the Creator. You know, you just feel that more of that love presence than, you know, just looking at a abalone shell or whatever.
Thank you, Don. Thomas, from you.
Don, hi. Thanks so much. It was wonderful. You know, I never get tired of listening to your stories, and I love you so much, and you know that. And I just was, it came up to me, a story you haven't told a long time about the meatloaf platters. Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
Could you tell that?
No, I didn't, but why don't you tell it?
Oh, he's muted again. Tom.
I can't remember it. That's why I want you to tell it.
Oh, I don't know how are we on time. I can maybe write it.
Let's get back where there's another 15-minute break, and I will get back to you because we got about 9 minutes before I have to go to the next workshop, and I've got an oodle of hands up here. So we'll get to that in about an hour, a little bit later. Deborah?
Hello. Yeah. So I have a question about the prayers. So you say the best time in the morning is to pray in the morning is when the sun rises because there's a window open to pray during that time. Uh-huh. So what about at night? Is the best time to pray at night when the sun?
As far as the steps are concerned, is when you actually do the step or you do the mind map work and all that, you actually face the east for steps 1, 2, and 3. Then when you write inventory to the south, 4, 5, and 6. So at the table, you set facing south because there's a window there, like growing during the day. And then you make your amends if, whenever possible, facing the west. So at nighttime, you face the north if you can to do your review at that nighttime. But anytime, you know, after, you know, you watch the sun, you know, it rises, it shines, it sets, and it's a dark period, you know. You kind of work in harmony with that.
Chicago.
Hi, Don. It's Laura from Chicago.
Hi, Laura.
And I'm a double winner. I'm also native. I thought your share was awesome. I'm trying not to cry. I found a giant bag of sage in my house, and I burned it before, but I was told that you can't burn if you have animals in the house. Is that true? Is that bad for animals?
I haven't heard that myself, but maybe somebody else knows. We have animals that we've never had a problem.
Okay. My real question, I don't want to take up a lot of time, but my real question is, you mentioned you clean the plate at night, and you said there's 13 things to clean. And I wasn't sure if there was a list of 13 things or if you had 13 things.
It's a list of 13 things out of the big book. It will start out as a sentence near the end of step 11 where it says, you constructively review the day.
Yeah.
It's that one. Then it says, where was I selfish? That's number one. Where was I dishonest? That's number two.
Selfish.
Should I call somebody's number? You know, so there's 13 activities to take place at night because as it closes, it says you ask for a corrective action. So during the night, the creator whispers to you, some corrections, and when you get up in the morning, it affects your morning 11th step. It's kind of cool.
Thank you, Juan. Is there a reason why you use abalone shell? People want to know.
Is there one?
Is there a reason why you use the abalone shell?
What you do with these kinds of ceremonies, you want to you not use anything that's metal. So it's very natural. And they come in sizes, too. So there's very small ones, and then there's larger ones. But that shell is like the womb of the Mother Earth.
Okay.
It's like, you know, when the mom's pregnant, it's like that womb. Well, when you use like an abalone shell, it attracts the heartbeat of the earth. So it does something to your meditation. It's like a attractive thing for the heartbeat.
Okay. Tammy.
Thanks. Thanks, Yvonne. My name's Tammy. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you so much, Dawn, for sharing, and thanks for putting this on. I wanted to thank you, Dawn. I met you a long time ago in Calgary when you came up for the gratitude roundup.
Oh, yeah.
And you spoke, and I was in very, very early recovery at the time. And yesterday I took 15 years, and you were an instrumental part to my recovery.
Oh.
And
I remember that roundup because they gave me a hat.
Yeah, the white hat. The white hat ceremony. Remember you wearing it when you were speaking, actually.
Yeah. I said, it's the only place I went up an Indian and come back a cowboy.
Thanks. Congratulations.
So, thank you. But it wasn't so much about that, but to honor the wisdom that you share with us, because it makes a difference to everyone. And things that I've learned from your sharing and reading things and the daily readings and so on have been instrumental in my recovery, as well as other people that I pass it on to. So it's just really important, I think, to be so respectful of all cultures. And I was involved with remote communities for some time. So, you know, it's so diverse and so important that all cultures are respected in AA, because it's the premise of what we do.
Thank you. Your own business and
keep it collective. So thank you for sharing all of that. It gave me some additional insight.
Okay. You're welcome.
Before I go to Sue, whatever you would like from information, do not put your email in the chat. Email us at awbroundup@gmail.com. I cannot individually email hundreds of people. We have thousands of people on the email. We get email all the time. So email us with your question, and we will get back to you with a referral or an address. Any of our speakers that you listen to since March, you need information, just email us, and we will get back to you. Do not give me your email. It's not going to work. I cannot keep track of that. I am very sorry, but just email us and we will hook you up. Sue.
So much for the platform, Yvonne. And Dawn, thank you so much for your... I listened to you yesterday and I just got half of your share today, but great to hear you. And thank you so much. I was wanting to ask... you spoke about, it was really nice to hear about step 10, how you were saying, instead of just using it as, oh God, I'm doing this again, and you know, this has crept back in. But I love this analogy you're talking about, the plate, and that, you know, 1 pound of dishonesty or 2 pounds of self-centeredness, and then so you've got this plate at night. And I was just wondering what your mythology was. That you just then pray for the corrections from your creator, or I wasn't sure. I just wondered if you could elaborate on that.
Well, I have found that when I don't do that nightly review, how it shows up sometimes is I will seem like I'm depressed. Or I'll seem like I'll have unresolved self-pity, you know, and it's like I can't figure out what is wrong, but I know something's wrong, because as I don't clean that at night, the last instruction in that, if you go and you look at that whole process, is at the end, it says you ask God's forgiveness, and then you ask him what the corrective measure should be. And what I have found is invariably, when I go to bed and I just, you know, forget it, in the morning when I'm doing my morning meditation and it asks you consider your plans for the day, I get this like inspiration or an insight that is connected to where I screwed up the day before. You know, so it's sort of a God-directed thing that... that seems to be where the best corrective measurements come from, is by doing that clean house. Because just to say you don't do it for a month, you can end up in a bag of crap and not even know how come, and you can you can bite somebody's head off and they wonder what the hell is the matter, what did I do, and it's got nothing to do with them. So it's sort of like it says we're undisciplined, and as an alcoholic, you may not like it, but we're given instructions. If we want to live free, there's some shit we got to do, whether you like it or not. And one of them is, and it's only good for one day. I would really think it'd be good for seven, you know, where you could just do it on Sundays, and but don't work that way for me, you know.
Thank you, Don. So I'm going to try to do a few more people. Please keep it to the question. And I'm looking at my chat, and please, can we not put any links or outside issues or referrals to other meetings or promotions in here? I don't want the world. We prefer not to have the world walk through our chat. We try to keep it focused on the 12 steps. This is Al-Anon. And so I would appreciate that. And those of you who have asked me know that. I always appreciate your respect. Thank you so much. Teresa, your question. Can you unmute yourself?
Hi, Don. Hi, this is Teresa. Hi, Don. I'm trying not to cry. You sound like my dad.
Oh. And
he's not here anymore. But one thing that I wanted to say, and I have felt this in for years, is that he used to whisper to me, don't tell anybody we're Apache. He goes, because the world doesn't like Apache. Even other nations don't like Apache because we are warriors. And he used to whisper these little things to me, but he always did these things in the garage. And I just wanted to share with you that you sound just like him. And I don't get to know all my heritage. We're from Hatch, New Mexico, and I don't know any of that. So I'm drawn to it, and I cry about it. And he was an alcoholic. But you know what? I just loved him so much. Mm-hmm. But when I hear your voice and the way you talk, you remind me of him. And I just wanted to share that with you. And I need my creator to show me the road so that I can get started to know my own heritage.
Well, it's really an honor. I feel very honored for you to say that. And the last thing I would like to mention is, you know, tears are the highest form of prayer. When the tears come, that's prayer.
Thank you. I'm going to try this again with you. There you go.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
I thought you said my name earlier, but I wasn't sure. But I'm just so glad to be here and to say to Don that when I first got sober, there was the journey of the Sacred Hoop that came through Nashville. And it was an extremely moving ceremony. And I don't remember if you were there, but I know I met Don P. And when you mentioned his name yesterday, I just burst into tears, you know, because that was such a profound experience. They actually set up teepees out at Percy Priest Lake. And they had an AA meeting under the stars next to the teepees. And I just felt like I was in heaven, you know. So I'm so glad to hear your stories and your discussion of the medicines today. I'm just so blown away by it. So thank you again. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
And I just like to say, you know, when we show these medicines, this isn't an Indian thing. This is a human thing. The sage loves red, yellow, black, and white. The cedar, it loves red, yellow, black, and white. You know, it's just was kept with us, where the knowledge was kept, but the cedars grows all over, sage grows all over. And so use it, you know, if it fits.